This is KCUR Central Standard. I'm Brian Ellison, and that music means it's time for Ghost Notes, the Kansas City music podcast out of the Fountain City Frequency Network. Today we're hearing Jeff Harshbarger. He's a bassist, composer, and a staple of the Kansas City music scene. He's played a variety of styles all over the globe, from chamber classical music to rock and metal bands and a Turkish ensemble, whatever that is. But his true love is jazz. He spoke with the podcast host, Hannah Copeland.
When did you start gigging? How old were you?
I think I was 10. I grew up in a musical family, so I started playing gigs really young. And while some of my peers were doing other stuff, you know, normal teenager stuff, I was gone on the weekends. I was out gigging. There'd be times that I'd pile in a Suburban and drive all the way to Wichita and play an Elks Lodge or a Lions Club or some really weird gig for lots of very old people playing music from the 20s and 30s. And I was the youngest guy in the band by about 50 years.
So you would go out, were you going out to Elks Lodges and staying out all night as early as that age?
No, I waited until I was 13 for that. My first gigs, my father's a band teacher and a jazz saxophone player. So my earliest gigs were with him. But at times, I get asked to go play with some other guys because Manhattan, Kansas didn't have the deepest talent pool for bass players. And some people thought it was better to have someone that could hold a bass than not. I think maybe they were regretting that after hearing me play when I was 10 years old. But some of my earliest gigging memories were very, very rough, you know, showing up at a place that I had no business being at and playing music I didn't know anything about at all. But guys are like, yeah, we need a bass player. So, you know, our regular guy is a volunteer fireman. Like Mike Brown was the other dude in town that played bass. And so sometimes the call would come into the house. And it's like, hey, the grain silo is on fire again. Can you let Jeff out the house to come play the gig in Junction City? And like, okay, come get him. And then they'd pick me up and I'd play jazz music I didn't know anything about. And then on the break, they would sit me on the bar and the bartender would put this giant pint of milk in front of me. And it was like this shield for everyone else in the bar, like, leave the kid alone. Don't look over here. Just don't bother him.
So your parents were okay with 45 or 50-year-old men picking you up and taking you out to bars and letting you drink milk and play bass?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, they were in bands with my father, too. And my pop grew, you know, supported himself through college playing music. So it's kind of family tradition, really. They thought, yeah, no one's gonna mess with my kid. You know, they'd have to answer to me. It was small town, you know, collaboration. People know each other, so I didn't really realize until, you know, much later. It's like, oh, yeah, these are the kind of gigs that most people don't want to do. but you learn so much. You learn a lot. You know, it's kind of the musician's playground. You have to go to the jam session. You have to figure out how to get along. You have to figure out what's expected of you musically.
How does, and well, let's just say, does the bass match your personality?
Yeah. Yeah, it does, I think. Or maybe my personality has come to match the bass after doing it for so many years. I like the big chunk of wood. I like how it feels under my hand. I like, and against my body, I like how you have to dance with it to play it right. You have to be free with your body to get the thing to speak. And it's amazingly versatile. It's got one of the widest ranges of sound of any instrument. We all know it's got these beautiful, warm, low notes and this power to be the foundation of everything, to lead through being just like solid and not being flashy. I really enjoy that. It's a very supportive role. But it's also capable of being as virtuosic as any other instrument that's made, and you can play crazy sounds on it. It makes all this weird. You can make it sound like an angry rhinoceros. You can make it sound like flocks of birds. You can make it sound just absolutely gorgeous, and then the most awful, horrible, gut-wrenching sounds ever. And it's all there for you in a heartbeat. And I'm still endlessly fascinated by what the instrument can do. So I think that's another reason why I still play it. And I like hiding behind a big chunk of wood. It feels good.
Why?
It vibrates a certain way. It gets a certain resonance. It just feels really nice. And also, it was a way to explore music without having to be really demonstrative about what I was thinking or feeling. I felt like when I was singing, when I was younger, I sang for a few years and then I just quit. I didn't sing for like 12 years. Because I felt like to get any better at it, I had to give more to strangers and than I was comfortable with. But hiding behind a chunk of wood, you can think about anything you want. You can feel any way you want, and no one really knows. So you can be creative and be expressive, but still be, still keep it personal, and still be a little secretive if you want. You're like, all you can think, whatever you think. I know why I'm doing this, and I know why I'm playing this, and I'm just doing this for me now. And you know, years go by, and singing got more comfortable. It got easier to do. So, yeah, the bass is a way to sort of hide in plain sight.
How did you become more comfortable with singing over those 12 years?
I started a thing called the birthday game. My birthday's in the middle of February. New Year's resolutions are worthless. And I like the idea of growth and of self-reflection and thinking about, here's a thing I want to work on. But birthdays are a little more important, a little more tangible. You know, I'm back in this spot around the sun again. And what have I done? And what can I get done before I show up in this spot again next year? So I use New Year's to give me about 6 weeks to think of there's a new birthday game every year. I set up sort of a logic game. Like, if this happens, if I'm in this situation and this opportunity arises, I have to say yes. So the first time I had a birthday game, it was, all right, anytime I'm playing anywhere and someone needs backup vocals or harmonies or just something really simple, I have to say yes. I have to offer to do it. And that was a way to start singing again, because I really missed it. I felt like I was good at it, and I hadn't done it in a really long time. So it was a way to game my brain into making me do it. And then if I failed, well, it's just the birthday game's fault. It's not my fault. It's just, oh, I played the game, and I didn't play it well today. So next time, I'll be better. And every year, the game changes, and the game grows. And for many years, it was about singing and getting more comfortable with it. The game has evolved into other things now, but it was super, super helpful. And so basically it's always something it's fear-driven. There's something that I'm afraid of that I don't want to be afraid of anymore. And there's something that generates anxiety or fear in my life. So I force myself to deal with it.
Through the game?
Yeah, through the birthday game.
Why have you stuck with jazz primarily? And correct me if I'm wrong about that, but what makes you stick to jazz? What style about that has made you stick with that most of your life?
And I feel like I can express myself in that style in a varied way. Jazz is a really, really big umbrella. There's a lot of stuff that can be done underneath it. And I think that's what's most interesting about jazz, is you're constantly working on your dialect. You're constantly working on how you can communicate with other people. And as you start playing with more and more people, you learn their dialect and their vocabulary. And so you're just growing all the time. It's a constant growth, always something new. And I think that's, to me, that's the definition of jazz, is just this new, move. And it has a very long tradition of being new and moving all the time. That is the tradition of the music. I think that's why I still do it.
Jeff Harshbarger, thanks for being on Ghost Nights.
Thank you.
Bass player Jeff Harshbarger playing there with a couple of friends. That interview with Hannah Copeland is a part of the latest Ghost Notes podcast from the podcast network Fountain City Frequency. We've been bringing you excerpts this summer here on Central Standard. If you want to hear more of Ghost Notes, you can find it on iTunes. And that's our show for today. You can hear it again later this afternoon or any of our other shows by visiting the website kcur.org/centralstandard. Also, watch Facebook for video later today of Jeff Harshbarger performing with some friends last week here at KCUR. You can also find us on Twitter. We're at KCURCST, and I'm at PTS Brian. Tomorrow, it's our food show. As the Ethnic Enrichment Festival gets underway this weekend, we'll take a look at the best dough-wrapped dishes in local restaurants, from dumplings to empanadas to pies. Be sure you join us for that. The Ghost Notes podcast is produced by Matt Hodapp. KCUR Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross. Our team includes Suzanne Hogan, Jen Chen, and Andrea Tudhope. Gina Kaufman's on leave. I'm Brian Ellison. We'll see you tomorrow.